This is Childhood Matters, presented by Interactive Parenting Media.
Childhood Matters.
For parents and everyone else who cares for or about kids.
We are family. Get up, everybody, and sing.
Here's your host, Rona Renner.
Good morning and welcome to Childhood Matters. I'm Dr. Will Courtney, the men's doc, psychotherapist and specialist in helping men and fathers. I'm sitting in today for Nurse Rona, who's in Amsterdam visiting her daughter. Today we're talking about stay-at-home dads and their families. In the last 5 years, the number of stay-at-home dads in the U.S. has risen 60%, and those are just full-time dads who earn no income. Fathers who do any paid work but also provide at least some and often the majority of caregiving is a group that's also growing and represent at least 2 million dads. And as the number of women who out-earn their male partners continues to rise, along with the cost of quality childcare, having dads stay at home turns out to be the best option for a lot of families. And it's really not a bad option. There's lots of good science to show that dads are just as capable as mothers in taking care of kids. But despite these facts, these men still face a lot of prejudice. Most of them get mixed reactions from friends and family, and they're often shunned from playgroups or by mothers on the playground. In fact, stay-at-home dads have less social support than other fathers, and that's a problem because the ones who are the happiest and most comfortable in their role have strong support from family and friends. It's also a problem for kids because the lack of support can influence a father's caregiving. I have support, especially from my wife. I've been a half-time stay-at-home dad for the last 6 years, and it was long before my partner and I had kids that I chose to be a stay-at-home dad. We went into marriage agreeing we'd share parenting and caregiving 50-50. We were fortunate in being able to make that choice. Unfortunately, many parents don't have that choice. They simply can't afford not to have one parent stay at home or to have both parents stay home splitting shifts. And how a dad comes to stay at home is important because it influences his adjustment to the role. Dads who do it out of necessity due to finances or because they lost jobs can struggle more than dads who do it by choice. The happiest and most secure in their role are the fathers who take pride in being a stay-at-home dad, have confidence in their parenting skill, and are comfortable with their masculinity. And speaking of masculinity, these dads aren't just changing diapers. They're changing how we think about men and fatherhood and changing families. They're proving men can be nurturing and empathic, and they're challenging the outdated notion about fatherhood that providing for family simply means providing financially. And the truth is, what stay-at-home dads provide far exceeds anything money can buy. Kids with involved fathers do better in every measurable way in their relationships, in school, and academically, and emotionally and behaviorally. What better reasons for getting dads more involved? So today we're talking about stay-at-home dads and their families, and we want to hear from you, especially fathers who are staying at home. What's the experience been like for you and your kids? The lines are open, so give us a call. Toll-free 1-877-372-KIDS. That's 877-372-5437. Joining me in studio is Jeremy Adam Smith. He's the author of the new book, The Daddy Shift: How Stay-at-Home Dads, Breadwinning Moms, and Shared Parenting Are Transforming the American Family, which was featured in the Childhood Matters Book Club this month. Jeremy is also co-editor of the upcoming book, The Compassionate Instinct, and the senior editor of Greater Good magazine, published by the UC Berkeley Greater Good Science Center. Jeremy's essays, short stories, and articles on parenting, popular culture, urban life, and politics have appeared in many publications, including The Nation, Mothering, Bay Guardian, San Francisco Chronicle, Utney, and Wired. 4 years ago, Jeremy founded Daddy Dialectic, a group blog that explores the experiences of 21st century dads. It's earned praise from the blogosphere as well as the Washington Post and New York Times. Jeremy is the father of a 5-year-old boy and has been a stay-at-home dad himself. Jeremy Adam Smith, I'm so glad you could join us and welcome to Childhood Matters.
Great to be here.
Well, let's jump right in. Fathers today are really struggling to balance work and family life in a way that their own fathers never did. Why is that?
That's right. You know, when I interviewed my grandfather and my father for this book. And when I interviewed my grandfather, you know, I asked him, what challenges did you face as a father? And he said, none. Your grandmother handled all of that. Mm-hmm. I went to work every day so that my wife would have enough money and my children would have enough money. And he went to the same job at a quarry every single workday for 40 years, the same job operating a crane. And according to his children, my mother and my aunts and uncles, he was a great father. Judged by the standards of his time, he was a very good father. Now, when my dad became a father, he wanted to be much more involved than his father had been. And he, you know, but there was never any question between him and my mother that he would be the primary breadwinner and that she would be the primary caregiver. The only question they faced was whether or not she would work. And my father, you know, I think throughout his life as a father has struggled to be as involved as possible. And he was. I would never describe my father as being remote or absent. But I think that he never was as involved as my mother would have liked him to have been. And I think that fueled a lot of conflict in their marriage. Now, when my wife and I became parents, we very much saw our roles as caregivers and breadwinners as something to be negotiated. It was we did not assume that one of us would be taking care of our son and one of us would be going to work every day. Instead, that's something that has evolved in response to the circumstances that we faced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, now, this book is not a memoir. It's based on your interviews with families throughout the United States. What did you hear from these dads about how they're dealing with these new challenges that they face?
Right. Well, you know, what I call the daddy shift is the expansion of fatherhood from being defined as pure breadwinning to encompassing a capacity for caregiving as well as breadwinning. And I think that the first response to that, I mean, that sounds very positive the way I put it, and it is positive. Mm-hmm. And a lot of fathers are responding by feeling a lot of pride in their ability to be caregivers and having those skills and those competencies. But it also has a negative side, which is that when you're in a situation when you can, when roles are something to be negotiated, when roles are in transition, that also entails a certain amount of conflict between husbands and wives, mm-hmm. where they're constantly trying to figure out where to draw the lines, both in terms of domestic labor, but also in terms of intimacy and respect. And, you know, families, that is a very tricky thing that families today are negotiating. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that the families that I saw that were thriving in those circumstances were families that appreciated the roles of both breadwinning and caregiving, actively expressed gratitude to their husbands or wives for the work that they did, mm-hmm. And also were able to articulate what they were gaining through father involvement or stay-at-home fatherhood, and through breadwinning motherhood as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, part of that struggle, I think you're getting at too, is the lack of models. I mean, there just simply aren't models for us, and we do have to sort of create as we go. And that a lot of couples are doing that these days, and the lack of models is really a challenge, I think, for a lot of couples who are trying to do that and negotiate this new terrain.
Yeah, you know, overwhelmingly in my interviews, you know, couples, you know, they love their parents, their own parents. You know, oftentimes they respected them. However, they did not see their parents as being role models for their parenting. What would often happen is that fathers and also mothers would look to each other, to their peer group, for guidance on what it means to be a good parent. And, you know, I think that in my grandfather's day, if a father, I don't think this, I know this, if a father was changing a diaper, you know, he would be criticized for that. He'd be, you know, teased by both men and women. Uh-huh. Today, if a father doesn't change a diaper, I think he can be judged very harshly. And that, that in a nutshell, is the daddy shift.
Yes, that is. Well, that's what we're talking about today, the daddy shift. We're talking about stay-at-home dads and their families, and we want to hear from you. 1-877-372-KIDS. That's 877-372-5437. And, you know, this story isn't just about stay-at-home dads. It's also about breadwinning moms. So we want to hear from you, too. What's it been like to hand over the caregiving reins to dad, and how has it affected your relationship with him and with the kids? You know, let's go right to our first caller. We have David with us in Castro Valley. Good morning, David.
Yes, hi. Good morning.
Good morning. Do you have a question for our guest?
I do. Actually, first of all, congratulations. I've about two-thirds through the book, and I'm really enjoying it. I think it really hits home with a lot of issues. I've been a stay-at-home dad for 3.5 years. I have a daughter. And so a lot of it resonated with me, and especially the piece about the generations and how the dads are changing. That's definitely how my dad, I felt he wasn't there growing up. And I just wanted to bring up the question that my wife is Chinese American, and they have a very strong family connection. And I'm kind of going through some second thoughts because her grandfather worked all his life. He wasn't there a lot, but he provided for the family. And we actually own our house and a lot of things because of him. Mm-hmm. So I'm having second thoughts about, you know, I'm going back and forth between, I think because I'm starting to look for a job as well. What do you say about this?
So you're saying you're not living up to your grandfather's standards? Is that what you're...
I'm feeling pressure to make money for the extended family.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gone through this already in my past 3 years of dealing with being a breadwinner and my guilt of not, giving to the family this way and supporting them.
Yeah, I think that guilt is probably pretty common, David. Jeremy, what have you heard from stay-at-home dads on this topic?
Well, first of all, yes, yeah, your feelings are very, very common. And, you know, I think that the most important opinion here is not even your own opinion of yourself. The most important opinion here is that of your wife and what she thinks and what she wants. And also, you know, it sounds like you only have one child and you've been a stay-at-home dad for 3.5 years. It's possible you're also feeling a little internal pressure to get back to work. You might want to listen to that. And I would also suggest that there might be something else going on, which is that we are in the middle of an economic catastrophe in this country. And a lot of people are losing their jobs. And I'm willing to bet, you don't have to talk about this, but, I'm willing to bet that your wife might be feeling a little bit under the gun at work, as are most people. And, you know, for all of those reasons, you might be thinking about work again. And, you know, and I think that's a good thing. I mean, I think you should listen to those feelings. But at the same time, you know, I think it's important to constantly remind yourself what you have gained during those 3.5 years as a father and as a person. And I also think it's really critical to ask yourself what skills you've acquired that you're going to be taking it back into the working world. A couple of weeks ago, I was in New York City giving a talk to a group of stay-at-home dads there, and we had this wonderful consciousness-raising moment where we described how being stay-at-home parents had really changed our attitudes about working with other people and had made us much more empathic, made us much more conscious of how other people were feeling. And, you know, that is a great skill to take with you when you go back to work.
Mm-hmm. Well, David, I thank you very much for your call, and good luck with this transition, if there is a new transition back to work for you. And, again, thanks for joining us this morning.
Great. Thank you very much.
So and we've talked about a number of things already here that I think are really important. One of the other things that David brought up was this kind of choice that fathers kind of make about whether they're going to emulate their father, be like him, or it seems that the research shows or suggests that about a third of dads actually try to be like their dads. Another third try to be anything but their father, and then another third are trying to discover a new way of being a dad.
Yeah.
So I think we'll probably be hearing a whole spectrum on that today. Why don't we go right to another caller? We have Ron with us in Oakland. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning.
Welcome to Childhood Matters. You have a question or comment for him, Jeremy?
Well, what I was going to say is I've had an experience being a stay-at-home kind of like dad for a couple of years due to I worked in technology, and I always seemed to get laid off over time working for these startups. And so when I first started, staying at home, it was different, you know, when you would take your kid to the parks or with things in the morning time, you know, other mothers or whatnot would look at you like, why is he here? You know, and so you kind of had to get over that and those feelings. But one thing, you know, when I was my father gave me some advice was spend as much time as you can with your kids because you never get that time back. And
yes.
So while fortunately we never really had to worry about finances, you know, growing up with my little kids right here, you know, there was always that stress of, you know, okay, I got to make sure I got to pay the bills and I got to make sure I have time to spend with them. So, but, you know, this is time that I would, you know, cherish, and I'd do it over again if I could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's time that you cherish, and it's also time that your kids will always cherish. You know, it has such an important impact on them.
Correct.
That we know from lots and lots of research that these kids do so much better with you being involved as you are, Ron. Jeremy, did you want to jump in here?
Well, I think that your story illustrates an important point, which is that, you know, stay-at-home dads emerged because women went to work. And you know, at first that didn't trigger, women going to work didn't trigger a lot of changes in male behavior. But over time, that isn't true anymore. Men have become more and more involved at home. Expectations have changed. And I would say that what I found in interview, I didn't realize this, although examples are all around me here in San Francisco. But what I found when I interviewed families is that this really adapted them for an unstable job market. You know, when you are in a situation, in the situation that we're in today, in the 21st century, job markets are very unstable. People in many industries are continuously facing layoffs. And in that kind of situation, couples can't afford to have a domestic specialist and somebody who specializes in a career. Couples have to be able to take on either role, sometimes at a moment's notice. And, you know, I would suggest that this is an evolutionary adaptation and a strength we're taking into this economic catastrophe.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ron, thank you for calling this morning. It was great to hear from you. And thanks for all the good work you're doing as a stay-at-home dad with your kids. And we appreciate it. And I know they do as well.
Thank you very much.
So, Jeremy, what else do you think dads are challenged with? I mean, one of the things that Ron mentioned was the, you know, the playground situation, and that's something we hear so often from stay-at-home dads. What else are you hearing about their experiences?
Well, you know, I think that the playground situation is an important one, and I would suggest that this is at least half in the mind of the father. You know, because fathers oftentimes, you know, it's not just that they're a minority on the playground. It's also that they are oftentimes, when their children are young, adjusting their own self-images as parents. They might not feel like one of these people. It's not just that they're fathers amongst mothers. It's also that they don't feel like parents yet. And, you know, I think that it's very important to be patient and to be brave. And to talk to mothers and try to establish those social connections. Now, other things that are that parents are facing, one thing that surprised me a lot was that, you know, oftentimes in the media and shows like this, we focus on the stay-at-home fathers and we forget the mother side of the equation and how breadwinning moms feel. And I found that that was absolutely decisive for a successful reverse traditional family, the mother's attitude. And, you know, a lot of moms, you know, they struggle with being separated from their babies. A lot of moms struggle with the responsibilities that come with breadwinning. They worry, as do fathers. You know, this is something that breadwinning moms have in common with breadwinning fathers. You know, the difference, though, is that I think a lot of men have been taught all of their lives that they're going to suck it up. You know, that when they become breadwinners, that's their primary responsibility. That's what they bring to the family, and that's what they're going to do. And, you know, that's important because that has taught men, you know, to, you know, that's given them a role in their families. And, I think a lot of moms, you know, when they become the primary breadwinner, they just struggle with that a little bit. And, you know, once again, it's important not to take anything for granted, to talk about these things, to put these fears on the table, and also, you know, really articulate to each other as a couple, you know, what you're gaining. For the wife to say, you know, I'm having an opportunity here. By you staying home, I have an opportunity here to advance in my career and get the satisfactions I can from that.
Yeah, I think that and that point about the mother's involvement or the mother's attitudes being so important is a really good one, because we do know that mothers are oftentimes the gatekeepers for father's involvement. And based on how mothers think about dads being involved, that's going to alter how involved fathers actually are with their kids. Yeah. And it was interesting you putting the it being in the father's mind that these, you know, they're being kind of singled out on the playground. Yeah. You know, I think that's I think part of what you're getting at is that in their own minds, they're really not living up to their own expectations about what they're supposed to do as a provider.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that, as we've mentioned this morning, that provider role is really changing and is expanding to mean lots and lots of different things, not just providing financially.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And how supported they are by their extended family is also important, too. You know, Ron, the caller, touched on this. And, you know, that support is so critical.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about stay-at-home fathers and breadwinning moms and the joys and challenges they face. We want to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-877-372-KIDS. And in a moment, we'll take your call.
You're listening to Childhood Matters.
Information for your kids.
For your family.
For you.
Give us a call now at 1-877-372-KIDS.
The conversation continues after this.
Here's this week's Childhood Matters community calendar with events for parents and kids. San Mateo families, come to the Peninsula Festival for rides, food, games, and much more. Kids 5 and under get in free. Saturday, August 15 through Sunday, August 23, from noon to 10. For more information, go to www.sanmateofair.com. That's www.sanmateofair.com. San Jose Youth, come to the Hillview Branch Library for exercise and fun with free ping pong. Tuesday, August 18 from 4 to 5:30. For more information, call 408-808-3033. That's 408-808-3033. Oakland residents, do you run a childcare business from your home? Meet other caregivers at the support group run by Bananas. Thursday, August 20 from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. For more information, call 510-658-7353. That's 510-658-7353. San Rafael families, bring a picnic and enjoy free skating at McGinnis State Park's end of summer celebration. Saturday, August 22 from 11 to 9. For more information, call 415-499-6387. That's 415-499-6387. San Francisco families, enjoy a free puppet show with the Caterpillar Puppets in Yerba Buena Children's Garden. Saturday, August 22 from 11 to 11:30 and 12:15 to 12:45. For more information, call 415-820-3550. That's 415-820-3550. For additional information and more events, visit our website, childhoodmatters.org. And to submit events, email info@childhoodmatters.org. I'm Anthony Giorgetti.
This is Nurse Rona with news for parents, providers, and everyone who cares about kids. Childhood Matters is now podcasting. So many people have told me they love our show but can't listen on Sunday mornings. Now it's easy to get our shows on your iPod or MP3 player and take us with you. Sign up for podcasting today at childhoodmatters.org. And if you or someone you know speaks Spanish, click on the Nuestros Niños logo and learn about our sister show in Spanish with Doctora Marisol.
Are you pregnant and thinking about how you will feed your new baby? Breast milk is the perfect nutrition right from the start. It's free, always ready, and supports growth and brain development. In fact, the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends only breast milk for the first 6 months of a baby's life. Breastfed babies have fewer illnesses and fewer trips to the doctor. Mothers who breastfeed lose pregnancy weight faster and have lower risk for breast and ovarian cancers. Be sure to tell your health provider that you want to breastfeed your baby. This message is brought to you by Every Child Counts, First 5, Alameda County.
Teach your children well and know they love you.
We continue with Childhood Matters.
Brought to you in part by First 5 Contra Costa.
Back to your host, Rona Renner.
Welcome back to Childhood Matters. I'm Dr. Will Courtney, the men's doc, guest host today, and specialist in helping men and fathers. Today, we're talking with Jeremy Adam Smith, author of the new book, The Daddy Shift. Before we get back to Jeremy, I just wanted to mention that our earlier caller, David, it's actually David Newman, who has a stay-at-home dad blog, and that is gugudada.com. And rather than trying to spell that out, I'm going to suggest that if you want to find out more about that blog, you go to our website, childhoodmatters.org, and there'll be a link there to that blog. So, and we want to hear from callers this morning, both stay-at-home dads and breadwinning moms. Give us a call at 877-372-5437. Jeremy, did you have other thoughts you wanted to add to what we heard this morning?
Well, you know, I find myself dwelling on David's story. You know, he was talking about being part of a Chinese-American family. And, you know, this is something tricky about the United States. We often talk about parents or stay-at-home dads or breadwinning moms as though we're all coming from the same cultural background. And, of course, living in the United States, We are not. And people are coming from different cultural backgrounds. And those cultural backgrounds are important. You know, I mean, they may be more traditional, they may be less traditional, but they really shape our opinions of ourselves and also, you know, our spouses' opinions. You know, interracial, intercultural marriages are so common today. And, you know, and that makes these negotiations very tricky. And one of the things I tried to do in the Daddy Shift was really interview fathers from a range of cultural backgrounds and see how they saw their stay-at-home fatherhood in relation to that.
And those extended families can really exert a lot of pressure on couples as they're trying to negotiate this this tricky terrain. Well, we have another caller on the line, Yvonne, in San Francisco. Yvonne, welcome to Childhood Matters.
Thank you.
Do you have a question or a comment that you'd like to add to the program?
You know, in general, I have to tell you that I really love the book. I really enjoyed it, reading it. And as a Hispanic mother, really, at the beginning, it was tough for me to get in the idea that someone has to stay at the home while the other one is going to be the winning bread, taking care of our sons. But then I realized that it's not really, well, I don't want to use this word, but bad that someone like me or my partner stayed at home taking care of our kids instead of hiring a nanny or someone else to take care of our children. But then I realized that it was really a good idea, though.
Yes, and it certainly is not bad. Jeremy, you want to jump in here?
Well, you know, families are different. You know, when my wife and I became parents, we assumed that, you know, she'd be going back to work after 6 months and perhaps even earlier. And then we actually, that was the theory. And then we became parents and then we were living the practice. And we discovered that my son wasn't ready for her to go back to work. And she, more importantly, perhaps, she wasn't ready to go back to work. And so her, you know, and so she took an entire year off for the first year of my son's life. Now, I know lots of families who hire nannies, who send their kids to daycare, and the kids thrive. And the parents also thrive in that context. You know, we're in a situation today when lots of different families are doing lots of different things in response to many, many different economic and cultural circumstances. And research is showing that those that all of these different kinds of families are doing fine. Their kids are experiencing the exact same outcomes. You know, in the case of daycare or nanny care, you know, what's important is that you have good caregivers you know, and, you know, children will not suffer if that's the case.
Yeah. And in terms of kids thriving, not all kids do thrive in daycare. And some really need to stay at home. Others really do very well in, in daycare. And it also has a lot to do with the kids and what is really going to be best for them. And that's another part of the equation that that parents are considering as they toss around these different options.
Yeah. You know, an important point here is my son has been going to preschool every day for the past couple of years. You know, when we felt like he was ready, he started going to preschool.
Yvonne, and where are you and your family at this point?
We live in San Francisco, but right now I'm divorced, so I'm become a single mother. And at the beginning, I struggled myself, who is going to take care of my younger son. So I, you know, it was really tough that moment for me to leave my son with someone else that I don't know if she is going to take care of my son like the way that I'm going to do it, supposedly do it. But then I have a lot of help from my family. So I don't have to deal with taking care of, taking my son to the daycare or at a school because my mom really plays a good role in that with my son.
You are
terrific.
As well, my aunt. So I've been so blessed that I had to deal with this as different families had to deal with their kids, with their children. You know, that someone has to make that tough decision to stay at the home, knowing that it's going to be less money taken to the to that house.
Yes, yeah, that is, that's, those are such difficult choices we have to make. Well, Yvonne, thank you so much for calling. It's great to hear from you, and I wish you and your family the best.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be a privilege being discussing this point. with other ones.
Yes, well,
thank you. And my congratulations to the doctor for the author of the book. It was really interesting.
Thank you very much.
Well, we have another caller. We have Alex with us in San Francisco. Alex, good morning to Childhood Matters.
Good morning.
Do you have a question for us about fatherhood and how it's changing?
Well, yeah, you know, when my daughter was first born, I was one of the fathers who was working extensive hours and wasn't really a part of her first couple of years. But by the time my son was born, I had shifted into more of a contracting role, so I was there quite a bit for my son. And I've, in the last year, kind of, if not split, probably almost did more care for my kids than my wife has. And I'm actually now in the position where I'm actually going to start a daycare center, kind of an environmentally sustainable daycare center. And I'm kind of curious about, you know, as the roles of fathers change, is there kind of a general perception that fathers as caregivers is changing as well? Because it's kind of been a stereotype that females are pretty much the better caregivers. Is there a general perception of that is changing overall?
Yeah.
That's a great question for you, Jeremy.
Well, I argue in the book that the answer is yes, that perception is changing on multiple levels, you know, both in terms of men's attitudes, women's attitudes, the attitude of our culture at large. But, you know, I think that because we're in a transitional phase, we get a lot of contradictory messages. Mainly through the media. I mean, you know, there's a huge time lag between, you know, how things change on the ground and how things the images that change in the media. And, you know, and stay-at-home dads and caregiving dads and competent fathers have started to appear more and more, I think, on television and in other kinds of popular media. However, you know, the image of the incompetent, bumbling, or even threatening father, you know, is milked still in a lot of ways. And, you know, individual people still sometimes hold very what I would consider to be retrograde attitudes about fathers being involved with children. And, you know, I think that the best way to combat that is just by being the best father that you can be, and by speaking out, not in an overbearing or bombastic way, but, you know, just kind of quietly speaking out and sharing stories about the first time you held your kid or the first time you fed your kid or the satisfaction that you get from taking care of your child, because that is just an absolutely essential form of cultural activism.
Mm-hmm. Defining being the best dad you can be is something I know, Jeremy, you do in your workshops with dads, and perhaps we can talk a little bit more about that, dads and couples you do workshops with. Alex, thanks for your call, and I wish you the best with your daycare.
Thank you.
Childhood Matters with Rona Renner.
We'd like to hear from the dads. 1-877-372-KIDS.
It's all about the children.
We're going to take a moment now to listen to some stay-at-home dads and some stay-at-home dad wannabes.
This week I went to Lake Fest in Oakland to speak with dads about what it was like and whether they think that they would enjoy being a stay-at-home dad.
Are you a stay-at-home dad?
I lost my job in March. I've been a stay-at-home dad kind of by circumstance.
I'm not a stay-at-home dad.
No, I work, and my wife actually works full-time as well, but from home, so she takes care of the baby at the same time.
Did you ever think you'd want to be one?
Yes, I've long wanted to be one. I really like to be one.
Yeah, doesn't everybody? Yeah, no, I could definitely spend all day with my daughter, for sure.
What are some of the things that you've really liked about being a stay-at-home dad?
Being a stay-at-home parent, you see every milestone that your kid goes through firsthand when it happens. And so the first time that he speaks, in our case, Malcolm's first words were, "Dada."
You know, just seeing the progression on a daily basis. I noticed differences every time I come home from work. So, seeing the highs and I guess the lows as well. Be fun.
I wish I could do that part-time.
I can honestly tell you one of the highlights of being a stay-at-home dad has been meeting the other stay-at-home dads in the East Bay Dads stay-at-home dad group.
This little stretch has given me time to really get to know him on a much deeper level. I've been able to spend a lot of time with him playing, watching TV, I've spent some time with him at preschool. So
mostly being there for every change, every new thing that he develops and encounters.
There's really no reason why a man can't stay at home and be the person who takes care of the kid during the day. We're just as good at it as women. And although men and women in general parent differently, kids, whether or not you celebrate the fact that one person is able to stay at home and has a good time and raises a kid who's going to be pretty well grounded in today's world.
For Childhood Matters, this is Anthony Georgette.
I'm so glad that last father mentioned that he's just as capable of taking care of kids as a woman is, and glad for his sake that he knows that. But it's an important message, too, and there's good research to back up his point. Jeremy, I know you talk about that in the book, Daddy Shift. Mm-hmm. Would you like to comment on that or anything else you heard in the segment?
Yeah, you know, it used to be thought that only mothers were responsible for children's outcomes, you know, and researchers, when they wanted to understand what sort of parenting practices would, you know, foster the health and well-being of children, they would just look at what the moms were doing. And data collection about dads often revolved around demographics and whether they were present at home and how employed they were. And it sort of ended there. Then about 20 or 30 years ago, researchers started saying, wait a minute, what are the dads doing when they're home? And, you know, at first it was very, you know, it was a very tentative sort of research, and it was considered very radical, believe it or not.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, I interviewed a lot of these early pioneers, people like Ross Park, who's at the University of California, Riverside. And, you know, what they discovered was that father involvement was really essential for a child's development in a lot of different levels. And that, you know, a highly involved father, you know, contributed in many, many ways to a child's health and well-being and also accomplishment. You know, we have longitudinal studies now going 10, 20 years that show that, you know, children with highly involved fathers do better at school. You know, they have better educational attainment. And generally speaking, they have more emotional stability.
Yeah, it's so important that dads recognize that, because most fathers still, I think, really don't understand that they are providing so much more for their kids than just finances. I mean, that's so many dads still think that that is all that they're providing, and their presence is so important. You know, I mentioned earlier the workshops that you're doing, and I'm wondering if you want to tell folks a little bit more about those workshops.
Yeah. You know, I was asked by the Bay Area Home Birth Collective, which is a wonderful organization you can find online, to do these workshops. And initially, I think, you know, the way they pitched it to me and the way I initially thought about it was that, you know, I would be lecturing, that I would, you know, that I had this knowledge as an expert that I would be downloading into their brains. Something I quickly realized as I started to talk about the book and after the first workshop is that that was completely inappropriate. That, you know, what couples really need today is to ask themselves a series of questions and to lead themselves through a process of agreeing on what a good father does. You know, and so that's what I try to do in these workshops is, you know, I pose a series of questions that starts with their grandparents and their parents, what kind of examples they provided. You know, the moms talk about what fears they have in becoming mothers. And I ask the fathers to say, you know, how can I, as her partner, address those fears and alleviate those burdens? Mm-hmm. And by the end, they come up with a job description, you know, for what a good father does. And it's something that, you know, it's something that it's a process that they guide, you know, based on the cultures that they're coming from, based on the economic circumstances that they're facing, and also based on their personalities and proclivities.
Yeah, yeah. I imagine when you first asked that question, what a good father does, people are probably flooded with stereotypes about, you know, what a good father is. And yet, you know, we know that most men don't actually live up to all of these stereotypes that they hold about themselves and other men.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that because we're in a transitional period, there's a little bit of cognitive dissonance, you know, because, you know, and I think that sometimes fathers themselves often play to this image of being sort of bumbling and incompetent and being guys. And, you know, and I think to a certain degree, moms and women encourage that because they also want the difference. You know, they don't want, you know, if they're heterosexual, you know, they don't want to, you know, they want somebody who's different from them, who they feel complements them. And how we see that depends a lot on what kind of cultural background we're coming from. You know, however, the lives that these men live, the way they interact with their children, oftentimes illustrates, you know, a very high degree of competency that defies those stereotypes when it comes to interacting with children, addressing their needs, you know, and helping them through life, and also being supportive of their partners.
And fathers often do just interact differently. Yeah. You mentioned heterosexual couples, and it is important to point out we're also talking about gay dads who, and I know you cover that in the book, so if any of those want to call in today, any of those dads, give us a call. We're talking about stay-at-home fathers and their families, and in a moment, we'll take your call.
Childhood Matters.
Helpful advice, inspiration, and resources for parents.
Get involved. Call 1-877-372-KIDS.
Hello, my name is Robbie, father of two and devoted listener of Childhood Matters. In this economy, parents need help more than ever, and Childhood Matters needs your help. With your support, they can stay on the air. Join me in helping Childhood Matters, a nonprofit organization who needs your financial support. Any donation will help Nurse Rona help parents. Go to childhoodmatters.org or call them at 877-372-KIDS to make a donation. Childhood Matters has helped me be the best father I can be. Please help.
Childhood Matters. I'm Nurse Rona. Reading aloud is one of the most important things parents can do to help their children learn. You can make reading with your child a part of your daily routine. At bedtime, in the waiting room at the doctor's office, or anytime, you can take a few minutes to relax and enjoy being with your child. Keep some favorite books in the car or in your bag for traveling on the bus. You don't have to read the entire book. Just looking at the pictures and talking about the story will increase your child's love of learning. Ask children about what they see and listen to their ideas and questions. From babies to teens, families reading together is good for the mind and for the heart. For information, check out reachoutandread.org, an organization dedicated to seeing doctors and nurses as champions of early literacy. This Childhood Matters health tip has been made possible by a grant from Kaiser Permanente, Northern California.
Did you know that in San Francisco and the East Bay, one in every five children has been diagnosed with asthma? In fact, asthma is the most common reason kids are hospitalized in the Bay Area. At KidsData.org, you can learn more about issues that affect the health and well-being of children in the Bay Area. KidsData.org provides easy-to-access information and resources for those who influence kids' lives. You can find data by region, topic, or demographic, such as ethnicity or age. Visit KidsData.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the Lucille Packard Foundation for Children's Health.
Summer provides great opportunities to explore the outdoors, but before your child plays in the sun, keep these safety tips in mind. Always use sunscreen and make sure kids wear a hat and sunglasses to protect them from harmful UV rays. When children are playing in water, watch them closely. Be aware of water dangers and always know where the nearest lifeguard is. On the playground, check the play structures before letting kids climb them. Remember, metal can rust, wood can splinter, and plastic can crack. And finally, banish those bugs. Use kid-friendly insect repellents and non-scented soaps and lotions to keep bugs away. For more on summer safety, contact your local Bay Area First Five County Commission by visiting firstfivecalifornia.com/parents. That's first, the number five, california.com/parents.
Listening to Childhood Matters.
Brought to you in part by First Five Marin. Here's more with Nurse Rona.
Welcome back to Childhood Matters. I'm Dr. Will Courtney, the men's doc, psychotherapist, and guest host today. Before we get back to our discussion about stay-at-home dads, I'd like to tell you about a study I'm conducting on fathers with babies. Every day, over 10,000 American men become fathers of new babies. Surprisingly, little is known about these dads or their social and emotional experiences as fathers. That's going to change with this study. If you're a father of a baby under age one, we'd like you to complete a 20-minute online survey. To learn more about the study, just go to dadsstudy.com. That's dads with an S, S-T-U-D-Y, dadsstudy.com. Now, if you're just joining us, our guest today is Jeremy Adam Smith. He's the author of the book, The Daddy Shift. He's also senior editor at Greater Good Magazine, which is a great online resource for parents I know many of our listeners use. You can find them at www.greatergood.berkeley.edu. Now, during the break, Jeremy and I were talking about how fathers become stay-at-home dads. And right now, you know, with the unemployment rate over 10% in California, and with more than 4 out of 5 of those unemployed being men, and a lot of those men being dads, that is one of the ways that fathers end up kind of entering this role of stay-at-home dads. Jeremy, do you want to comment on that and this transition?
Yeah. You know, the most important message that a decade's worth of voluntary stay-at-home dads have for today's involuntary stay-at-home dads, the hundreds of thousands of fathers who are being thrown out of work and into new roles at home, is that you still have a role to play in your home. You can now see to the well-being of your children and to your family. And that didn't used to be the case. It used to be the case 50, 80 years ago. If a man was suddenly unemployed, it would destroy him because that was all he thought he could provide to his family. Today, that's not the case. We've gone through the daddy shift. Fathers have a capacity for caregiving as well, and they can play that role in the family. Now, getting laid off is always devastating. And a lot of fathers, when this happens to them, I've heard this anecdotally from a lot of people, and I know it's true through the research, you know, they are just overcome by less. Lethargy. They're depressed. They watch TV all day. And sometimes they get a hard time from their wives about that. And, you know, it's very important, I think, for these fathers to see their new role at home as being a job, something that they have to be good at. And so that's one part of it. And to be supportive of their wives in their new role and to articulate what it is they're gaining through this and also to break out of the isolation. Don't just sit at home. Take your kid to sign your kid up for swim classes. Go to the swim classes. Talk to the moms and also the dads that you see there. You know, if you're looking for work, that'll help you get a job. You know, that kind of social networking is very important, but it'll also feed your soul and help you find a community.
And actually, speaking of community, the East Bay Dads Group, which one of the dads earlier mentioned, is a great resource for dads in the East Bay at eastbaydads.com, I believe. Oh, we actually have another caller on the line, and we have Corey with us from Berkeley. Good morning, Corey.
Good morning.
Hi, you have a question for us or a comment?
More comment. And actually, the segment that you guys just discussed really addressed a lot of my current situation. You know, I've been home with my two girls for about 3.5 months now, and it was definitely that situation where, you know, my job, I wasn't technically laid off, but it just got to the point where with child care and expenses as a contract employee, it made no more sense to go to work. And, you know, my wife has always been our primary breadwinner, but I did struggle with issues of self-worth around not being able to go to work and participate in the providing for the family. But, you know, having been home for those 3.5 months, I think that I can definitely see what me being home and providing time with my children has been great for them.
So, Corey, what helped you? You said you struggled with your sense of self-worth. What was helpful for you to start to feel better about yourself?
My wife was very, very supportive of the concept of me being home and being the caregiver for our children, and also just the experience of seeing my younger daughter, who turned one yesterday, you know, start to reach milestones and develop beyond the cuddly little infant that you bring home from the hospital, was great for me.
Well, Corey, you bring up such an important point about I think the wife support, which we talked about earlier. I want to thank you for your calling in today and wish you and your family the best. We have another caller on the line, and we want to be able to get to that call as well. Jeremy, did you want to say something about what Corey mentioned?
I would just like to say to him, congratulations.
To arrive at that place where he really recognizes his value to his family. That's so important. Okay, we have Nancy joining us. Nancy, good morning.
Good morning. I certainly enjoy Childhood Matters.
Well, that's great to hear. Are you, by any chance, a breadwinning mom?
No, I am a grandma. Huh. And I have shared childcare with my son-in-law, who works shifts as in the paramedic field, and 1 to 3 days a week with him for the last 3 years. And it has been a very positive experience for me and for him, I would assume, getting to know him better and getting to know him better as a dad. It's been very positive.
What do you think about this whole idea, Nancy, of dad staying home with kids?
Well, from what I've seen with my son-in-law, I think it would be very positive, that it's just great. When I drop my grandson off at daycare or pick him up, I see dads and moms. That certainly, it's maybe 60-40, but it's just, that's been a very positive experience.
Well, that's great. And Nancy, thank you for your support of stay-at-home dads. Jeremy, did you want to comment on anything Nancy's mentioned?
That's a great story, you know, and it's always, you know, when I go on these shows and I talk to parents all over the country at events, you know, it amazes me the diversity of childcare arrangements that people have and how rich they are. It sounds like the child is getting a lot of different kinds of care, and that's good for him.
Well, thank you so much, Nancy, for your call, and keep listening to Childhood Matters.
I certainly will. Thank you.
Jeremy Smith, it's really been a pleasure talking with you today. I'm wondering if there's a last comment or piece of advice you might like to offer to dads who are either stay-at-home dads or thinking about becoming one.
Well, I think the first and most important message is that fathers today have a lot to be proud of in terms of balancing their responsibilities at home and their responsibilities at work. And it's very important as we go through this transition that I call the daddy shift, it has other names, to believe in ourselves and to work to be the kind of fathers that we want to be, and also to believe in the ability of other men to parent. You know, that is so important right now.
Mm-hmm. No, that's so... Yes, because what is dads perceive other dads to be more involved, they actually become more involved. And that's one of the things that's so great about your book. I think it's helping dads to recognize that dads are more involved. And we know that that then helps other dads to become more involved because they try to do what they see other dads doing.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, thank you for joining us today. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you.
Zan West, producer. Lacey Daniel, associate producer. Tony Giorgetti, assistant producer. Peter B. of Collins Media Service. Oscar Juarez here at the controls. And Rona Renner. This is Dr. Will Courtney. You can find out more about me at www.mensdoc.com. That's MENSDOC.com. Coming up next is Childhood Matters Community Report, so stay tuned to hear about saving money. Nurse Rona will be back next week. In the meantime, remember, childhood matters, and so do you.
This is associate producer Lacey Daniel, and this is the Childhood Matters Community Report. This week, I asked Jill Sturm, the Asset Services Director at EARN in San Francisco, for tips on saving money during the recession.
EARN is a San Francisco-based nonprofit, and we work with low-wage workers to help them build assets through matched savings accounts coupled with financial education.
And who qualifies for your program?
So in our San Francisco office, we work with San Francisco residents that are earning, for instance, a household of four below $44,100 per year. People do need to have an earned income and have less than $10,000 in assets to qualify for our program.
For people out there who don't qualify but are still looking to save a little bit of money, can you give them some suggestions?
Absolutely. Well, I think that right now is a super important time to be saving money. Obviously, it's much in the news, and lots of people are looking for ways to save money. So I think, you know, one thing that we've found to be really successful is for people to really write down their goals, whatever they might be, financial goals. And once you write something down, you have a much better chance of achieving that goal and even sharing that with other people that can help you stay on track. You know, we've heard about people, we learn a lot from our participants of just taking $5 a day and putting it in a place where they won't spend it. And, you know, at the end of the month, they have quite a bit of money saved. That's a real simple way. Other things we've learned are somebody quit smoking. They'd been smoking for 10 years and ended up saving thousands and thousands of dollars and had improved health as well.
Where can people go to find out more?
So if they're interested in learning more about EARN, they could go to our website, which is www.earn.org, and it's EARN.org.
Great. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Sure. Thank you.
For Childhood Matters, I'm Lacey Daniel.
You've been listening to Childhood Matters.
Produced by Collins Media Services and presented by the nonprofit Interactive Parenting Media.
We are family.
Join us again for Childhood Matters. Find out more at childhoodmatters.org.
Thank you.